Welcome, everyone, to KRFY Morning Show's Garden Life, a monthly feature about gardening as the antidote for our world today, a way to honor and embrace our Mother Earth, nourish and strengthen our families, and a tonic for our community. Thank you for joining us. My name is Julie Prochinski, and I'm here with my co-host, Julie Calamine.
Good morning, Julie Prochinski.
How are you doing, Julie?
Really good. Oh, despite all this rainy weather.
Wet morning out there.
It sure is. Well, do you want to have a little weather forecast
Yes. Before
we launch into
our... Yes, let's start with that.
All right, very good. Well, good morning, KRFY listeners. This is Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and you are listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. And as we all now know, the first Tuesday of the month is Garden Life. We love it. But weather plays a big part in our gardening life, and I don't think I'm going to be out doing much gardening this week, my friend, because it is chilly and wet. It looks like today we're having a high of 39. Lows are starting to be right around the freezing point or below. It looks like Wednesday morning, it's going to be down to 23, Julie. Boy, that's a pretty hard frost. And then Thursday, high of around, upper 30s, and then the lows in those low 20s, and then up to 30. So we are really kind of coming into that in-between phase where we're freezing at night and warming up in the day, and it's kind of chilly and not perfect.
Actually feeling like fall.
For sure, and heading toward winter. However, the one nice thing I can say about what's happening is that the rains have really changed the smoke scene out here, haven't they?
Yes.
It's much better. We have our burn piles, which, of course, create some smoky smoke that's really kind of dirty. But other than that, not really too much happening in the air. And I just checked the AQI, that's the air quality index, and it was a very healthy 27.
Oh, what a relief.
I know it. Well, that's the weather, so let's start talking gardening.
Gardening, all right. Well, today we've got a guest with us, Kim Durr. She's in charge of the work services for Panhandle Special Needs. Welcome, Kim, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'd like you to introduce yourself and explain exactly what work services is and what you do there at PISNI.
So at Panhandle Special Needs, I'm an employment specialist. I have 11 paid employees that have a disability of some sort who aren't quite ready for community employment. So they come into my program, they get training on how to be a good employee, and when they feel they're ready or we feel they're ready, they go and explore community employment.
I did see on Facebook that Shane had graduated from Panhandle Special Needs Work Services and is on his own now at Walmart.
Yes, he graduated from the independent living classes. And
that's great.
It was a big feat.
He's a joy out there. He's a lot of fun to talk with him and see how much he does enjoy the job.
Yes.
And everyone out there is happy to be working at Panhandle Special Needs, I'm sure.
Yes.
What kind of in-house work services are there?
So for the shop, we have several contracts. We do shredding. So we do pick up shredding from a bunch of local community businesses, and that's a piece of the job that any level can do. So we really enjoy that contract. We have a contract with Lignetics. We've had that since 2002, and they bring us cedar shavings milled in wax, and we fill the bags, we weigh the bags, we pack and seal the bags, and then they ship them off to their customers. And so that's a great contract, learning all different kinds of dexterity accomplishments.
Kind of a fire starter, then.
It is fire starter.
I see.
That's
go
correct.
With the Lignetics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Cottage Thrift Store. So we process donations and take them over there. We also clean the cottage for the volunteers in the morning. I have the greenhouse. So in the spring, we do hanging baskets, bedding plants, vegetable starts. And then in the wintertime, we have the Christmas market, which is coming up.
The Christmas market. Well, that's the reason we have you here today. It coincides with our garden show, so we'd like to talk a little more about that.
You bet.
Could you give us a description of this Christmas market coming up?
So we have the market in our greenhouse. It's a 30 by 80 heated greenhouse, and the vendors pay for a table. This year we have, I think, 45 vendors, all local artisans, crafters, and they set up their table, and then they're able to just stock the table, and the participants and myself run the market. So we, as a group, sell fresh 14-inch wreaths. I have some volunteers and some friends that will do the greenery cuttings and bring them down to us, so they're fresh weekly, and we make them throughout the day and then sell them.
That's so great. What kind of greenery do they cut for you?
Typically, we use Doug fir, white fir, pine, cedar. That's probably about it.
And I bet it smells great in there.
Yeah, they're great.
And are they further decorated, or are they simply the boughs?
They're both. So they're a circular wreath, and we have ribbon to make bows, but if somebody just wants it plain, then we can just leave it plain. And we sell those for $25. So
it's
a great deal.
And they can call in advance and order if they'd like?
Yes.
That's great. And they're for sale there at the market?
Yes.
Do you add any florals that you might grow during the summer or anything of that sort?
Not to our wreaths, no. Okay. They're just the plain green.
All right. So you've been there 5 years as Work Services Program Manager?
2016.
Okay.
So.
And the market's been going on for 5 years?
The market's been going on for 5 years,
oh, that's
yeah.
That's great. So, introduce us to your vendors, the 45 vendors that you have on. What kind of products are they selling?
Oh, gosh. So, every vendor that comes in, I make sure that we don't duplicate so that they all have the best chance of selling their product. Ornaments might be duplicated, but their main product that they sell is not. So, we have handmade soaps, barnwood signs, stained glass, honey, jams and jellies, homemade slippers, fudge, artificial wreaths,
okay.
Jewelry. Birch lampshades.
Ooh. All kinds of festive Christmassy things or household things?
Both.
Both. Okay.
So we have a really talented woodworker that does charcuterie boards, but he also might do something for the holiday.
Okay.
Or somebody's making barnwood signs and they're for everyday household use, but then he might have a Christmas one to put out on the porch.
That's great.
So. Are there any other food products from from our vendors?
So we have vinegar this year. We have jams and jellies, plus, canned pickled asparagus. Mm-hmm. There's a carrot cake jam that people have been asking about. So that was new last year, and I've had some customers ask if that's going to be back. We have pepper jelly, fudge, honey. That might be it for food.
Do any of your former staff have stands or clients or anyone who's worked through the Work Services Program there?
No staff as of recently. We do have one participant who engages in the market every year, and she's a knitter. So she makes these, she calls them Annie bags, and she strips plastic.
I've seen those
grocery bags,
yes.
And she knits them into like beach bags, and she calls them Annie bags. So they're just like a throw over your shoulder bag. She's pretty talented.
I've seen those at your thrift store at the cottage.
Yes, she sells over there too, and she makes pot holders. So, and she's got a couple cute little baby outfits that she made a couple years ago that will be there, and afghans.
Oh, that's great. So. Sounds great. So your staff is all preparing to work in the community through these services. They're learning to price,
yes.
Check people out, greet the public. So if you have a new person coming in, what steps do you take them through to train them to work there in the greenhouse with you?
You know, when we first do our initial interview, we ask them, you know, how many hours do they want to work? And they have to have the understanding that they need to show up to work, be on time, and be prepared.
Okay.
That's where we start. And then they learn every process that we do. They don't just shred paper. They'll have to learn to fill. And depending on their level of education that they've had, most of them weigh. There's only a few that can't use numbers. So they'll learn janitorial skills. And then we update them, you know, on their progress monthly. We do six-month progress reports. We ask them how they're feeling. Do they think they're ready for the community? Would they like to explore that? I think that's what's nice about the cottage or the greenhouse. It gives them the feeling they're still in the community, but they have the security blanket of support with them.
Sure.
So,
and when they do go in the community, many times there is support out
yes.
there for them. You will shadow them and help them learn the job.
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. And so how many people, so you have 11 paid staff right now?
I do.
Yes.
So January of last year, I think I had 16 back there. Then Panhandle Special Needs purchased Ace Cardboard Recycling and Removal.
That's right.
So we go, same as shredding, we have 68 customers. We do 107 stops a week, and we pick up their broke down cardboard and remove it for them. We were able to hire 6 guys for community employment through that program.
Wow.
And so they have uniforms, they have a schedule, some work 1 day a week, some work 4 days a week. It was entirely up to how many hours they wanted to work. And they're out in the community in this weather picking up cardboard every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now might be the time to give us your phone number out there for people who are listening that might be interested in that service from you.
Yeah. Panhandle Special Needs, 208-263-7022.
Okay. Right. And can people go online and find you?
You can go to panhandlespecialneeds.org to our website, and it talks about all of our programs and information.
Maybe we should talk about the dates for the Christmas market.
No, oh.
When will you be starting, and will you have lights out there, and will it be all decorated?
So we take about 3 to 4 weeks to decorate the greenhouse. Because the greenhouse has plastic sheeting, it looks like a snow globe from the street. It's really quite unique. We open November 28th. We're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 4. And we'll be open until December 16th.
So what is that? The 28th is the Friday after?
Monday after Thanksgiving.
Monday after Thanksgiving.
And we're just 2 days shy of 4 weeks being open.
Wow. Yeah. Every 7 days a week.
Yep.
That's fantastic. And how many staff do you have working out there with you? All 11?
No, I usually take 2 or 3 on a shift, maybe 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and they don't all work every day. So, but they all get out in the greenhouse.
Oh, that's great.
So.
Yeah, and they're busy making wreaths too.
Yes.
So that's happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
And bows. We make our bows. We don't buy them, so.
Okay. You know, it's called the greenhouse. Is the main greenhouse activity that is related to plants, wreath creation, or is there any other gardening that happens out there?
Not during the winter, no.
No. And what about in the summer?
Yeah, we start planting in February. Our greenhouse opens the Monday after Mother's Day. And we had 380 hanging baskets this last year and sold out in just under 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We are the garden show, garden life show, so we have to know a little more about your gardening pursuits over there.
Yeah.
I see you do have a garden on the outside the greenhouse. Do they work in that as well?
We do. That's our client gardens. Okay. I let them choose what they want to plant every year. I encourage things that I know I can grow, tomatoes. But we try everything, Brussels sprouts and purple carrots and everything. And so we get out there and you know, we divvy up the beds basically and plant and weed eat and water.
Mm-hmm.
So
learning an important skill there.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more about the clients. Are they individuals, restaurants? Who gets to be your client in a garden?
This is for the participants at Panhandle Special Needs.
Ah, so they take their own garden produce home.
They usually just pick it for lunch.
Nice.
So promotes eating, you know, healthy, fresh vegetables and so.
100%. I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Not growing anything for income then out there.
No.
Just for your own use.
Just for fun.
That's great.
That's the fun way to garden.
It really is. Just for fun.
Yeah.
So as Garden Life, our idea is that life is improved by gardening, by greenery. And every show we ask for an anecdote on what is it about gardening that improves your life or your staff's life. Is there anything you can think of that you can share with us that improves?
I think for us, which is maybe what we all say, is getting our hands in the dirt. So, I mean, all of us love to get the beds ready and transplant and plant. It's just getting your hands in the dirt. There's something about it that makes you feel better.
It does. And seeing life come forth, and you had something to do with it.
I think so.
Yes, I think so too. Do any of your people garden on their own once they get home, or are they growers?
I do have, there's several people within the building that do tomatoes in pots.
Oh.
So.
Because most of them are apartment dwellers, yes. I'm sure. Yes. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, tomatoes are fun, though, so that's always a satisfying potted garden vegetable to have. I love it when my tomatoes get going.
I love the smell of a tomato plant, and I don't eat tomatoes, generally speaking, like off the vine, but I love the way the plant smells, so I love to grow them.
Grow them and share them.
Yes.
That's right.
I can't believe how great the tomatoes tasted this year. I've said that before on our show, but it's still blowing me away. Even as they're ripening from a green state, they just tasted so delicious this year. Maybe it's me.
Maybe it was the dry season.
Maybe it was.
They got a little more heat and maybe they were warmer.
Yes, that could be.
Slow start, but they finished well.
All right, so let's maybe rehash the times and the dates and the address, phone number of the market this year, and go from there.
Okay. So Christmas market opens in our greenhouse. Address is 1424 North Boyer. We're open 7 days a week, starting November 28th through December 16th, 10 to 6, Monday through Friday, 10 to 4, Saturday, Sunday. Come on out. We have great vendors this year, a lot of new ones.
It really sounds fun. Well, Kim Durr, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Kim, you are the Panhandle Special Needs Services Manager, and it sounds like you're doing a great job out there. We appreciate you coming in to tell us about it all.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming, Kim.
All right, listeners, we're going to go. Listeners who are just joining us, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and we've just had a great interview with Panhandle Special Needs. We're going to go to a little song break, and then Julie and I will be back to talk about Christmas plants, basically.
More Christmas.
Christmas. It seems early, but it's really not. All right. Upcoming is Mel Torme. Nice. Well, I will tell you what, Julie Porchinski picks some of the best songs for our morning shows. Nice work if you can get it. It is nice work for the folks at Panhandle Special Needs that was our previous interview. We're moving on to talk about winter flowers and plants, but before that, Kim Durr shared a great story with us about another group with special needs and winter Christmassy flowers. So, Kim, would love to hear that.
So, I was just saying that we get bulbs and flowers donated all the time, and I had this random bulb, I think it was in a paper bag, and I gave it to the Adult Day program, and they do living enhancement skills. Some of the clients are pretty disabled out there, and I gave the staff out there this bulb and said, I don't know what it is, but try and grow it. And it ended up being an amaryllis, and it grew like 4 feet tall. Two huge red flowers. And then they came to me last week or so and said, what do I do now? And I said, I don't know. I don't know anything about them.
Well, I think we might be about to find out because Julie Perchinsky knows quite a bit about what to do with our wintertime bulbs and Christmassy plants.
That's right. Well, you cut the blooms off, as we were saying, and then just let it grow until it'll grow for probably about 4 or 5 months, and then it'll start losing juice. And then bare root it, take it out, put it back in the paper bag, put it in a cool, dark place. 8 weeks later, it'll start again.
Okay.
In theory.
In theory. All right. Well, we're going to let Kim run off to work, but we did want for her to share that story before she ran out the studio door.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's been great having you.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Have a great day. All right, Julie, on to the next topic.
Okay, Christmas gardening. Now, as we were saying, of course, it's not outside. It's inside, and we're going to talk about holiday plants, beginning with the bulbs. Amaryllis seems like the place to start.
Seems so.
I saw them at the Home Depot. They're there.
They are so showy and beautiful.
They are
hard. It doesn't sound like they can be too hard to grow if those guys didn't even know what they had.
No, no. Bulbs have all that life inside them. I saw on a YouTube where a gentleman cut them in half, and you could see them, the heart of it just beginning to come up. And they are a fascinating, fascinating bulb.
And so beautiful. So, I mean, they are just so holidays for me.
And when you buy them now, they're already pre-chilled. So all you do is plant them. I'll soak the roots a little bit and then plant them up with the idea that they're going to get 2, 3, 4 feet tall. They're going to get heavy. I try and always think about how am I going to stake it. In fact, I planted one the other day, and I'm gonna repot it into a bigger pot because the roots also get very massive, and it'll push itself right out of that pot.
Okay, and I need to back up. For listeners who don't routinely work with bulbs, what do you mean by pre-chilled?
Well, it's what happens to the bulbs over the winter naturally. They have to have a cold, dark time before they'll start again. So just like any bulb, They have to chill in the winter.
Yeah, like apples. Apples need a cold period in order to thrive. Like
same
a lot
idea.
Of plants, right?
And amaryllis, so many varieties. If you've looked at a Jackson Perkins catalog or any of those, and within the family, there's 4 or 5 different strains that are just crazy, crazy interesting, and a beautiful, beautiful plant, and easy to grow.
And showy. They're just so big and
yes.
beautiful. I love those guys.
People are very impressed when you have one growing, and they should be because it's a very impressive plant.
That's right.
After you've grown them, though, as we were talking, cut that bloom off, leave the leaves on, and let it go for 4 or 5 months. Just think about how naturally bulbs would go, and as they start to yellow and dry up, I think the best way to handle them is pop them out of the pot, clean them very, very, very good, you know, with a brush, get all the dirt off, trim them up, put them in a paper bag, and put them in a cold closet.
Yeah, dark, cool place.
Dark, cool, 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah. And the reason we let those leaves go on is so that they can resupply nutrition to
just
the
like
bulb.
Any bulb, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Got it.
Don't
got
cut it.
It
all off at the beginning. And the other bulb out there for sale now are the paper whites, which is the same idea. They're pre-chilled. You can plant them right out, and they're ready to go. You don't have to mess around them. But moving on, let's talk about just regular bulbs. How would you force them?
Well, back up a second. I am so ignorant of Christmas plants that I don't know what a paper white is. What is it?
It's a narcissus. It's a tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny little
like a jonquil
white.
Or
yeah,
a daffodil.
Yes,
yeah, nice.
Daffodil.
Oh, I love them.
Yes, so many names for that.
I know it. Okay. Oh, boy, forcing bulbs. You're going to have to tell me everything.
Okay.
I am the novice here.
Okay. Forcing bulbs. So it's usually hyacinth that I go for. I'll get hyacinth bulbs from the stores, and you're supposed to plant them out in your garden now. Well, you take them and put them in a pot. I plant them out. I find a pot. I put them in a pot, water them in good, and then I put them in a paper sack and put them in that cold closet and let them go for 10 to 12 weeks. Wow. So right now we're 8 weeks out from Christmas, let's say. So you won't get it by Christmas, but you'll get the bulbs
In the wintertime.
But in the wintertime, in the house. So you watch the bulbs, and as they start growing, you'll see them pushing themselves kind of up out of the... You actually can see the roots pushing the bulb up, so you have to kind of gently press it back in and bring it out, water it, and put it in light, and you'll start... You'll have hyacinths, you know, the grape hyacinths, the little guys, daffodils. There's another one that's easy to force. That tulips will work, but they aren't as showy inside, and they don't last very long, unlike the hyacinths that'll last for a couple of weeks blooming.
And the hyacinths seem to last a while in the spring, too.
Yes, yes, they do. They're a long-lived bloom, real waxy.
So if, for example, I'd put my bulbs away in the dark closet maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I might have had them for Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. I'll have to plan for that next year.
Some things take longer, like the hyacinths take the longest, 12 weeks, but the shorter, like the little grape hyacinths or any of the anemones, any of the bulbs, you can do it. But some take longer than others.
Okay, we haven't mentioned one that I really like in the early spring, and that is crocus. Can you force crocus?
Yes, you could.
Love them.
You could do any bulb.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And some people say put them in the fridge, but you have to be careful if there's apples ripening in the fridge, or there can be a relationship in there that's kind of crazy, too. So,
well, like what?
You have to be careful, huh?
Tell me, what happens in there?
They start growing.
Oh.
But they won't. They won't bloom.
Bloom then.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
They don't remain dormant if there's an apple.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I did not know that.
Wow. Other Christmas plants maybe we want to talk about.
I do. I was in one of the larger stores yesterday, and what did I see? The Norfolk Isle Pine. And for whatever reason, I always think of that as a Christmas indoor plant because so many people will put them, you know, they'll put ornaments on their Norfolk Isle pines.
Sure, sure. They're very, very sweet that way.
Yeah, and I don't think they're very difficult to keep track of,
no.
But I do think they like to stay moist.
They do, and they like to be misted.
I bet.
They like a wood stove. They hate a wood-fired house, you know.
No, they're not from those kind of places.
That's right.
They're from misty places.
That's right, very misty. So be sure and mist it a lot. And I was going to mention that, too, with Kim and her wreaths, that you can get a spray, like a desiccant.
Got it. Desiccant.
I knew I would screw that word up. To spray on your evergreens to make them last longer, just like you do outside on your evergreens that might get winter, the winter wind might damage them, and you can get a little juice in there to help them stay green longer.
That's a great idea, and it's one I had not thought of. Why not prolong the wreath's life?
Sure. I made wreaths many years ago for sale, and we would send to a lady in Florida. And we would always say, oh, my gosh, how long did it last in Florida? But she put it on her door and sprayed it every day and had it until March, April.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
That's amazing. That's really good.
Lasted a long time.
Right.
Other Christmas-y plants are poinsettias. Do you get poinsettias, Julie?
I often do get a poinsettia, and I do not have the ability to maintain a poinsettia, so they never make it to another Christmas. Is it possible?
It's possible. It's possible, but it takes some dedication.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it has to be in direct light. You don't want them ever in direct light, but I'll tell you about a poinsettia my mother had. She is the craziest gardener. I mean, real slap happy. She would just do the craziest things with her plants. So she put her poinsettia in the furnace room in the dark after Christmas, and the next year she pulls it out and it comes back to life. So that too is like a you always repot it after it's done blooming. So don't do it before things are trying to bloom or make color for the poinsettia. So repot it after it's bloomed. Trim it in the spring and fall. It looks like you have to trim it twice. And then 6 to 8 weeks before Christmas, put them in 12 to 16 hours of dark.
Oh.
Just like a poinsettia. Poinsettia and just like a Christmas cactus.
Got it.
and the poinsettia are kind of the same. They need that 12 to 16 hours of dark
to make the
two
blooms.
Months before they'll kick it out.
Well, I was just headed toward Christmas cactus with you because I can maintain the cactus, but I don't always get the bloom, and that must be the explanation.
And they say even in the house, the light will affect it. So it really, the 12 to 16 hours of dark is serious.
You've got to put it somewhere dark.
Right.
Yeah.
Under a cabinet or, you know, it's still growing. It's still alive. It's not like it's bare rooted, but it has to be in the complete dark and cool too.
So do you have one? So does that mean then that you move your Christmas cactus around every day? You take it out of the closet, put it out in the sunlight for a few hours?
Well, I have a greenhouse.
Yeah.
So, you know, this time of year when it is dark so often and we don't go out in the greenhouse at night,
It gets its dark there.
Good. When I first moved to our place, I forgot one of my Christmas cactuses outside until probably, I bet it was close to Thanksgiving, and I found it under a bunch of debris, and I brought it in, and that Christmas cactus was unbelievable.
It was so grateful that you saved it.
I guess I am my mother's daughter.
That's funny. I bet it was grateful. Thank you for bringing me out of the winter.
Where anyway, have you been? Right. I've been here all along.
Oh.
But the dark and the cool, I think, really it stresses it. That's why things bloom, is they're like, they got to kick it out to seed. And they are a beautiful plant. There's whites and pinks and reds. What, do you have one? Christmas cactus?
Yes, mine is red.
Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I have a friend with a pink one, but I haven't seen a white one.
The white ones are pretty too, tinged with pink.
Yes.
They're so easy to start too.
Oh, Julie, you're making me go all philosophical now. It's like, you know, our whole season of life, the period of dark bringing us into the light, and then we get a beautiful bloom. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It's really amazing.
Gardening goes on year round, even if we're not out with our hands in the soil. Yes.
How true. Well, what else might be a Christmassy type plant or greenery that would keep us thinking of our gardens and plants?
Well, I do want to mention again with the evergreens, if you get a bouquet that has evergreens in it, or you want to make a wreath or a garland or anything, think about that desiccant and think about spraying it before you bring it in the house just to prolong its bloom. And also flower bouquets. One of the things I learned with bouquets, and I'm sorry I missed that show with Robin, is I put a little bit of bleach in my flower water.
Really?
It keeps it from getting that slimy, icky water in there.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say sugar, but I find that a little touch of bleach in your floral arrangements makes a big difference in prolonging those blooms.
Nice. So it's actually helpful. I would, you know, my initial reaction would be it might be harmful to put bleach in your bouquet water, but it's not.
Just a teeny bit, and it does keep the water a lot clearer. And then, you know, taking it out, retrimming it, getting all the slime off it, pulling out the icky stuff.
Yep.
And the other thing I like to do is I like to let the water dry up and see which bulbs which flowers will just dry on their own, whether they're like zinnias or hydrangeas or any of those flowers that do dry on.
Yeah, the hydrangeas. I have PGs at my house, and I've been drying some of them, and they really are pretty.
They are pretty. Are they the pink?
Yeah, mine have a little pinkish tinge. They're white with like pink edges, and I really like them. And, you know, Julie, I'll pick some for bouquets or for dry arrangements, but then I also leave the remaining ones up for the winter, and I don't trim them until spring because they're really nice to look at all winter.
Yeah, they are. I think there is something about not trimming the blooms off of hydrangeas,
too. With the persistent blooms, except when a big dump of snow drops on one of them and they all get broken in half. Oh, well.
Oh,
then
well.
It's over.
That's life in North Idaho.
That's right. Well, okay, this is going to be, I hope this doesn't become a fight between us, but do you go with a live Christmas tree or artificial?
Artificial.
Ah!
Sorry.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, we'll have to take this conversation off air later.
Do you cut your own?
I do, because we're on acres and we always have ones that need thinning out. So it's not like we're, cutting everything out of the forest.
I think it was years of having wood heat that kind of broke our hearts with the live trees, because they didn't last very long at all. And plus, we get my sister-in-law's hand-me-downs. And one year we got a pink tree.
Oh, boy.
And then one year we got a white tree. And now we have a long, tall, skinny tree. And those are they're just so fun to decorate and to look at. The other thing is, because they're fake, we can push up the branches on the back and
tuck it
against the wall in our little house.
And they're all so bendy.
Into all the rooms instead of off a bunch of rooms.
You can have a whole grove of fake Christmas trees going.
You could. Yeah. A wall hanging. When I worked at Alpine Vista, I took those trees, those little trees, and bent them all up and had wall hanging trees. That was really cute.
That does sound cute. You know, I don't know if this could be categorized as a Christmas time plant, but it's a plant that I bring in and have in all winter, and they're so easy to grow, and I like the fragrance. It's the citronella.
Ooh.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
You know, at the holidays, I make sure that I walk by and enjoy its fragrance.
Sure.
And I know it's meant for mosquito control or this and that, but I like it in the house in the winter.
Sure. That's nice. Well, all the herbs. You could have any of the herbs you wanted in the house. I have another friend who was given a big basil last year. I mean, just to cut the top of the basil real pretty. She put it in a vase. She kept it all winter in that vase. It rooted. She used it in dishes, and lived all winter. And I think she might have even planted it this spring.
Wow. Well, I potted up some rosemary this year, and I'm keeping them in a sunny location. Fingers crossed I'll have rosemaries all winter.
Well, great. Yeah.
Herbs are nice.
Do you use rosemary a lot in cooking?
Yeah, I love rosemary.
Okay. That's great.
I like it. I have a favorite recipe, Julie. It's called Rosemary's Baby Potatoes. Sorry, folks. That was bad, but it is what we call it.
I hope it doesn't have tomatoes in it.
All right. Things are getting silly. Julie, what do you think? Song break and then back for current events.
Let's do that, Julie.
Alrighty. All right. Well, for those of you just joining us, this is Julie Calamine with Julie Perchinsky for our Garden Life monthly show about gardening. And in the winter, we have to reach for topics, but we still find plenty. Well, we'll take a short song break, and then we'll be back to talk about what's happening here at the radio station and also out in the world. Julie picked this one. It's Jack Johnson.
This is KRFY 88.5, and you've joined us here at the morning show again. Nice to have you here. Coming up this week on the morning show is tomorrow, Wednesday. It will be Local Decision 2022. Chris Bessler's at the helm, and we'll be talking with County Clerk Mike Rosedale about the upcoming election next Tuesday. So listen in on that. And then Thursday, November 3rd, join Jim and Jack and their guest, Brenda Hammond. She's the spokesperson for Bonner County Human Rights Task Force about their upcoming presentation, Building Community in Difficult Times. That's another fantastic topic to join us for.
And coming up in the city and around town, Julie, what else is happening?
Let's see. Oh, we've got artist reception for Maria Larson. I love her art. She's a local artist and adds beauty and elegance to our community. I know she sometimes does the Christmas painting, like at Superdrug and different places. She's so talented. Let's see. That's at the Ponderay Winery on the 3rd. From 5 to 7.
Cool. Well, keep going.
The next night, the Conservatory Concert Series, Evening in the Gardens of Spain. Gardens again.
Oh, nice.
Matthew Goodrich performs a dazzling selection of Spanish piano music in the Little Carnegie Hall with special guest Melody Puller. So that's at sandpointconservatory.org if you're interested in more information on that. Have you been to the Little Carnegie Hall yet?
I haven't, so I should jot that down, put it on my calendar, and see if I can make it to that one. It really sounds interesting.
It does. And then coming up on the 5th is Sandpoint Nordic Club's Winter Welcome. Join them to ring in the 22-23 winter season. Food and beverages will be available, plus a raffle and family fun. And this is up at Pine Street Woods in that ski building, warming hut they have up there from 1 to 4 is that Saturday the 5th.
Yeah, that sounds fun, too. There's a lot going on. We're getting going with holiday things and fall and winter things. Lots going on.
That's right. There is a lot going on. And I just do want to mention again about Pisney's Christmas Market. That's starting November 28th and going to December 16th. And that'll be 7 days a week. So we're looking forward to that coming up.
Yeah, great. Well, for listeners just joining and whomever's been listening throughout the hour, wow, that turned into a mouthful. Not a good one. We thank you for listening to Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This has been Julie Calamine and Julie Perschinski talking about garden life, and in this case, Christmassy garden life. Thank you for joining us out with an interesting song, and have a good week, everyone.
Bye-bye now.